Yes, 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 yes. It's your boy DJ Busy. You're tuning into another episode of the Cast Offs podcast. We have a special guest in here today. We have, in my eyes, a UK music legend, an icon, a pioneer of the scene as well. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I can only gladly introduce you to Mr. Bushkin of the Heartless Crew. No, how you doing, bro? You good?
Respect, yeah, man. Yeah, all good. This, trying to post up this little story to Insta.
Do you think, man.
Big up, man. Thank you for the intro as well.
It's all right, bro. This is an honor for me. I have my guy Daz at the back. Yeah, Daz the director as well.
Trying to tag in Daz the director right now. You know, I can't find him, mate. Yo, where is Daz?
It's Daz the director, isn't it? Is DAZ. Can you find him?
Yeah, but Daz dot.
That's the. There's no dot in between, is there?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Find him? D A Z T H E director, all one word.
No, mate.
D A Z T H E.
Oh, I put the other way. I know, I fully get it. I don't know what's going on. Oh, there we go. Yes, I'm in the building now. All right, Insta.
Oh, yeah, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm very good, man.
Looking well, bro?
We're trying, man. And God is good, as I always say to people. God is good, man, sir.
Amen to that. Bro. Yes. Like I said, it's been an honor for me. This is a big thing for me. When I reached out to you a couple of months ago and I said, bro, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do something. I'm getting into the podcast space, but I want to try and go with some of my heroes and people doing good for the community as well to make it something different. Most people thought I was going to do a music-based pod, but I'm trying to mix it up as well. But this is special for me because you guys are Donnies in my eyes as well, so from back in the day. And as well, another reason I wanted to do this is not a lot of people know this. 30 years.
Yeah, man. Yeah, 30 years of Heartless Crew this year. We're planning something, man. We're going to do something and really celebrate it, man, because
that's big, bro.
It's a journey, yeah, man. It's been epic, man, and again, God is good, man. We're still here.
Exactly.
I was on a Zoom call this morning and they were making a laugh at how we've managed to stay relevant and the younger generation still know about us now. And I'm like, well, again, like I say, it's God is good, man.
Amen to that, bro. It's the thing is, how I look at this way is when it comes to different other genres, the rock genre, the Britpop genre, people who stay that long or groups that stay that long are celebrated. When it comes to, obviously, you want to call it urban or black music genre, we don't, because that is huge. That's 30 years, bro. What we want to do is, I wanted to make this pod different. We want to go back.
Yeah.
How the whole thing started and then come to present day and what's going on forward as well. So it's going to be a two episode pod. I think the first part will be probably more of the history, the background, the inspiration. I'll ask a couple of questions of the bits that I know already and the stuff I've also researched as well. And anything I get wrong, blame Google, bro. blame Wikipedia.
Yeah,
bro.
This is why the podcast is always good, man, to hear it from the horse's mouth, because people can upload anything on Wikipedia and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, let's start.
Holloway Boys, you and Fonty.
Yes.
Holloway Boys, big up Holloway Boys, the school and everything. Is the school still there?
It's still there, man. It was Holloway Boys when we went. It's actually now Holloway. It's a mixed school now, you understand? I kicked them because they should have made it mixed when we was in there. But yeah, it's a mixed school now.
Yeah, so how did you guys meet at the school? Obviously, I'm guessing you guys didn't know each other from youth, didn't it? It's literally from school.
Yeah. So the first years, I mean, year seven now, but when we was in school, so he's called the first years.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I didn't meet Fonty like straight away, but we knew of each other. Fonty was like the main guy. He was like popular with music from early, and Sandy could, and he, like, in fact, them times there, I didn't even know about music first. He was into dancing and he had the like lean top hair. So I remember them with a high top or lean top and them things there. And he was like, he was into Bell, Biff DeVoe and those kind of groups.
The Bobby Brown thing.
And he was into dance and all the dance. Yeah. Him and another friend of mine, good friend, Delvin Straker, he passed away, you know, RIP. But like, them two were into the dance. They had like the little dance routines and stuff like that. And yeah, man, we linked up and we was actually on the football team. I remember one time we played on the school football team again. I think it must have been first years. And there's something if I had to borrow a font in my boots. I had some brand new Deodorant. I was mad for it. I was like, But yeah, man, we've become good friends and stuff like that.
I mean, did you guys, I mean, were you rapping or speaking? You know, we're back in the school playground, everyone just beatbox or hit the table and make beats and stuff and start rapping. Is that how the whole thing started? Or
it's weird, you know, because fun enough, I wasn't actually rapping them times, but Fonty, again, was the main MC.
Yeah.
Like, he was the man clashing man in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
Like, you understand, man was doing the beats in the back of the bus and kicking out the back window and all these things. But Fonty was the man, you understand, MCing and clashing and going on with a bag of things. Sometimes I was a bit more shy, really. I had I didn't even have lyrics in it. I might have one lyric, but I was more on the kind of rude boy element, you understand.
Big up Fonty, by the way. No, he's a legend
as
well.
He's a genius, man. He's a real genius, man, with this thing here.
So you guys started from there. You guys met 92, formed the group, Hardless, obviously. Again, if I get it wrong, blame Wikipedia. You lot met Mighty Mo, I think, a few years after that. Fonty met Mighty Mo in college.
Yeah, that's right.
Big up Mo as well. Long time, bro.
Yeah, man.
How about your boy?
Hey, that Mighty Mo. Yeah, man. You know, there's another missing link, David Ogwan. Soopman, he was in the sound as well. So me, him, and Fonty initially, us three, were the real nucleus. Soopman was in my class. So big him up, because he doesn't necessarily...
Oh, big up David, right?
David Ogwan, yeah.
David Ogwan, big up yourself, sir.
Yeah, he often don't get mentioned, sir, man. I have to celebrate him as well.
Yeah. Oh, amen.
So yeah, us three initially started it. And then Fonty and Ogwan went to... Holloway, what was it called? Sitting Islington College.
They were sitting Islington College,
and that's where they met Mighty Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what happened? Ogwan was like the hip hop DJ of the sound, and Ogwan was like, he was gonna go more academic, so he was leaving the sound, and then he was drawing Mo in.
Mm-hmm.
So Mo, in a way, filled in Ogwan's space. And then he kind of just settled
just
in.
Just the chemistry was just there straight away.
Right. Ogwan never really came back, and Mo kind of took his state his claim.
Oh,
and,
man, that's good, bro.
And yeah, it was.
So give me, so you guys have kind of met now. There's the three of you, the three main guys, isn't it? Yeah. So what happened after that? Like I said, it's I need it in your own words. Like, obviously, I know a bit.
Yeah.
But it's what happened after that before the pirate radio station time? Because I know there's a time before you guys. So what happened was, what made you guys think, you know what, we've got something here? And how did you guys start creating your sound?
Everyone loves to use the word organic, but it really was like organic. Man had a vision, and we had a vibe, really, in Chile. And then we practiced all the time.
Yeah.
Again, I've got a real entrepreneurial spirit. So back then, we was making the flyers in school, in secondary school. So this is prior to us meeting Mo. And we was doing like little house parties. Camden girls would go and ask the girls, who wants a birthday party? And we'll put on a birthday party. And my mum had a speaker box, and Fonty's uncle had some bits, and so we used to just
them separate, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. Some power amps, we bought off Uncle Des, and put in a cab, or sometimes he used to drive us, and we used to set up and do little parties.
Yeah.
So we were kind of making our name in our local area, on the back of the buses, sticking up flyers, doing all of that kind of stuff. Then we started playing in like the local community centres. Mm-hmm. Lorraine Hall was one of them, the Cheese Centre was one of them. I kind of were getting a little vibe in our area. Mm-hmm. People starting to know us.
A little bit of following, the local following, because it always starts from home anyway.
That's exactly right. People starting to like rate us in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of popular anyway, you intend. And then, from then, I met kind of one of the kind of elders for me. Me and my other friend kind of met one of the elders. And he was like, he was doing bits and bobs, you know, and he kind of said, yeah, he was doing the radio station. He's like, wow, you might need to come on the radio station.
That's how it started, this is the radio.
That's how it started, you know, just like that. And again, as everyone knows in this industry, like, hard work beats talent, because we were working hard, number one. But then also they say, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Networking,
again, it worked a bit of both. We was working hard, we was getting noticed and stuff like that. And I mean, I think what I'm trying to say is, you got to prepare for the opportunities.
Yes.
Because we was prepared. We were so sharp at that time. When he came around and offered us the radio opportunity, we was ready. We was like, oh,
boom,
we're waiting
it.
For something like this. Bang. And then it's like, yeah, we're on radio. The first time we went to the radio, they must have cussed us off. We come there with all our record boxes and stuff like that. And they cussed us off and said, oh, you mad idiots, this is pirate radio station, Mary, you're coming with your boxes. But we never knew any better. It's the first time we've been there.
But you weren't prepared. That's the thing.
In that respect, we wasn't. We weren't overly prepared, because how we used to look at, because we're a sound system, and we've still got the same mentality now. we bang all our records because we didn't know what we're going to play. And we're used to playing all night. When we're doing our little community raves and stuff like that, we're going from the beginning, stringing up the sound, playing all to the end, then stringing down the sound and taking it home. So we're going to the radio station with that same mentality.
Yeah, right, exactly. You
know what? We don't know what we're going to need to play. All we're bringing, the 7-inch box, the crates, everything. They cussed us off very rare. But again, when we went and done the show, they were like, yeah, they're feeling it. And then we played garage in the show as well.
Yeah.
A couple of sounds, and garage was only a small fraction of what we done.
Time, yeah, yeah.
And we played the garage set, and they were like, whoa, no, that's the whole thing. But again, it's just timing.
Timing, innit?
At that point, garage was coming in.
It was creeping up, innit? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we was playing garage as a sound system in a different way. They were like, right, you know what? You, man, the mix-up thing's called, have two shows. You know, have the mix-up show and then you have a garage show. And we was doing them both simultaneously. But again, where garage is a new thing and a new flavour, that show was just getting more popular and cheeking.
Jesus Christ, man.
And it's like, yeah. So again, it's weird because Mo was a hip-hop DJ. So prior to us doing Pirate Radio, I was like a bashment DJ. Mo was a hip-hop DJ. And Fonty was playing jungle and in the garage.
So you basically had all the facets of the music, in, like of different kinds of genres, into one, innit?
Well, yeah.
And that's what makes you guys stand out, in my opinion.
Unique, yeah. With the sound. That's what a sound system does. We played everything. We played soca. We played dance. We played slow jams. The swing beat coming. We started playing that. We played everything right across the board as a sound system. So you know, anytime we go a place, whether it's a wedding or a dance or Shabins, anything, we can cater for it. And the same way we went to the radio, we were playing, you know, mixing up everything. Busta Rhymes, Mariah Carey, where and then we played a little segment on Garage. And then the Garage got mad. So, yeah, they split the show. We had the mix-up show and the Garage show. And the Garage show just started to pop off, basically.
Yeah, because it was around that time as well, the Garage show was popping off. So it just kind of just sink in.
Again, organically happened. We weren't trying to be Garage DJs or anything like that. So then what happened, and again, Fonty sometimes, like, well, because Fonty wasn't necessarily trying to be a garage DJ. It's weird. He was a bad boy DJ. But prior to Fonty's just a musician. He can play music. He can write music. He can play instruments, guitar, trumpet, this one, that one. Remember, like I said at the beginning, he was the first one spitting out all three of us. Yes, and he was a bad boy spitter in our area. So it just, again, happened when the garage took off. Fonty's now the main DJ.
Yeah.
It happened by
just
default.
Fell into it, innit?
Yeah, it's kind of like, wow, garage is taking off. You're the garage DJ. Yeah. And now me and Mo are the garage MCs.
Yeah.
And we're starting to... Again, I should mention Major and Rudy. These are like the predecessor MCs.
Big on Major and Rudy there, bro.
Yeah, man. Them man don't really get a shout at either, but they were the heartless MCs prior to me and Mo. So they're the predecessors to me and Mighty Mo.
Yeah.
Major and Rudy. And this is the jungle era. So yeah, I could chat. We could, both of us could chat on jungle, but they were actually the MCs of the sound. Like I said, we were DJs.
Yeah.
They were the MCs. We could all chat, but they were the front man.
Yeah, the front man. Yeah.
So, but this time now, jungle's faded out. They've kind of faded out as well. Garage is coming, so now it's like me and Mo
step up. Yeah,
you understand? So we've got our jungle lyrics, you understand, and we're now spitting jungle lyrics basically over garage, which again by default made it so easy for us.
Yeah,
because the music's a slower tempo. Garage is obviously a lot slower than jungle. You understand? Plus, we jungle, you're spitting from the beginning of the track to the end. It's just, you understand, instrumentals basically. So when we come over to garage, garage at that time was a lot of vocals and then a bit of instrumentals. We're like, this is piss easy. Like, we're just taking a piss out of the whole thing. Like, we've got lyrics to kill. We're spitting all from start to finish.
Yeah.
But there's not many garage tunes made like that.
Yeah.
Which is now forced Fonty to start looping tunes, slowing tunes down, and like just being creative to make space for us to chat over the tunes. So it's like, we're now making up our own.
Toasting, basically, innit?
Yeah.
You're just toasting, innit?
Yeah. And that, in its way, this is the essence of grime. This is the form of grime.
Yeah, that's how it started, innit?
Yeah, because we're spitting bare energy over instrumentals at that tempo. And at this time, it weren't really done before.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
I mean, I said toasting as well, and I'm going to try and explain to those for people who don't know. So basically, toasting is... God, that started in the 1950s. DJ Machuki, Jamaican DJ. He was literally toasting over rock beats. This is going back 50s. The other guy, I can't remember, 70s guy from Jamaica as well, then flipped it And now he was down making beats for it, but a whole 3 minute beat for people. Like obviously, the sound system DJs, yes. the DJs. How we know in Jamaica,
yes.
to speak over. Then he started seeping into like the late '70s into hip hop. Obviously, had the Caribbean lot that in New York and stuff. And what people don't really realize is Toastin birthed hip hop.
Yes,
in America.
Exactly. No, man, love that, bro. Because a lot of people don't know the
history. They don't know
man.
That, innit?
A lot of people don't know the history.
Toastin birthed, it came through, I think, early 80s down here in the UK. And something ranking, I've got it on my phone as well. It started looping that as well. But he looped it with ska and punk.
Okay.
It was the beats and just chat over it. Then obviously, then that birthed jungle. Yes. Then birthed you lot. Then birthed garage. Then birthed. Grind and birth, drill. So we're going back literally back from the 50s or 50s. And when you see like King Yellow Man and all those guys, it's that. And
that's what it is, Papa Sand, the Professor Nuts. These are the real, the generals of the thing.
Bro, it's insane. And the thing is, I want you to try and clear an argument for my mates, because we used to argue about this for youngs. They say Heartless Crew is a garage thingy. And I said, no, it's not. And they say why? I said, because they just do, like for you, for example, your sound is clearly influenced from the Bashment, Dancehall, Toastin era, and the reason as well with Mo is a bad spitter, but you can see that hip hop influence in him as well. And I've always said you guys are just a sound system. You flex on anything. Yeah. So please, yourself from your mouth, can you tell the world what you see Heartless Crew as?
Yeah, man. No, Heartless Crew. Or a sound system at heart. We're still a sound system now. We started off as a sound system, mimicking Stone Love, Black Cat, you understand, King Adis.
Yeah.
You understand? These are the people we were trying to fashion and be like Silverhawk sound, you understand? So we are a sound system playing all different genres of music, you understand? That's what we are. We stumbled across jungle and garage as it came in. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we've done as a sound system, we played every different type of music. And as new music got popular, we incorporated that into the sound, basically. Yeah. But we are a sound system and definitely not a garage outfit. You understand? And we're not, we wanted to be jungle DJs, but we are a sound system.
Full stop, period. Full stop. Guys, I think you guys have got it there.
Yes.
They are not a garage crew. They are more than that. They are a sound system on any genre. They'll just kill it, basically. So we've now gone 92. Got a little bit of history in between. Now let's go into when garage is now growing. 2000, 2001, 1999, 2002. Some people call it a compilation album. Somebody call it album. Yeah. I call it a Heartless Crew album, which is basically Toastin. And again, for the young'uns as well, this is sick. It's a 46 track. It's a double album, bro.
Yeah, double album.
It's nuts. Were you guys the first double album guys in this country?
That I won't take. There's a lot of things that I will take. I'm not too sure about that
you
one.
You can check us, but because obviously the Americans like Tupac and them started the whole double album in '96, then Biggie then '97. I can't honestly remember a UK double album until that one.
Yeah, that's an interesting fact. I don't know. And I'll look into it. I mean, the album itself was very unique.
Yeah,
I know there wasn't anything even probably to now.
It was
extremely unique. Mm. So that much, Chris Biscuit, man.
Chris Biscuit Volume 1, Chris bro. Biscuit, that is one. Bro, I've still got that on vinyl, bro.
It's cool.
I should have brought it down here to get it signed. It's nuts. When is the Volume 2 coming out then?
Bro, that is one of the most asked questions. Like, we at the end of the CD, we're like, Volume 2 coming soon. And we never got round to it. And we always say we're going to do something, but I don't know if we ever will. We do want it, and the intention's there, but. One was, you know, sometimes they say they don't even make a sequel. It was a particular time, a genre. It just had a certain essence and a vibe to it. And I mean, yes, we can recreate it and we can arguably better it, but I don't know, man. Sometimes
just leave it there.
Yeah,
limited edition. Boom, done, isn't
it? You know what? It's on the internet. Someone told me the other day, and I went and looked. It's on the internet selling for like £100. If it's like gold dust,
bro, it's rare.
Yeah, it's like, literally
absolutely rare. Like, I'm pissed off. I didn't bring my vinyl of it down because I've got you to sign for it. Then in 5 years, I mean, probably be £100,000.
But yeah,
we cut it, isn't it? It's right. Track one, Earth, Wind and Fire. That's my dad's song as well. You guys killed it. That album is immense. Yeah. Guys.
That's my mum's fan. Enough that record, we got a board of my mum.
Yeah.
Yes, and Fonty's mixed it in. And Chris Biscuit. Yeah.
What an album, bro. Okay, so then the legendary. I'm thankful I was old enough to appreciate at the time as well. The Clash, Destiny's Club. What I want to get from you, bro, is I want you to paint a picture. So I want let's not just go straight into that. I want to just set the scene up for me. How he got to that stage? Who planned it? What was the structure behind it happening before it happened on that day?
Okay. I mean, first of all, it wasn't planned. Yeah. A lot of people hear it and think, oh, that must have been a plan or something like that. No, that was just totally off the cuff. Mm. I never knew that was going to happen before I walked out my house that day. It was like just the energy. But I mean, around the time, obviously, you got the three crews, you got Heartless Crew, the original, you got Pay As You Go.
Big up Pay As You Go, man. Yeah, man. Wiley, Slimzy.
Yeah, Max O D.
Yeah, man.
RIP Major Agent.
RIP.
So you got Heartless, you got So Solid, Pay As You Go.
Yeah.
I mean, More Fire was there
just
as well.
Coming up, wasn't it,
they were coming up, but yeah, they were the three big guns, mm-hmm. basically. And there's a lot of rivalry going on.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had clashed Major Ace a couple times. Well, we had actually clashed as Heartless Group and Pay As You Go a couple times before. One in Temple, and then one time I clashed Major Ace. I'll tell you that, in Rumble.
That Temple by Seven Sisters, North London.
It was Temple, yeah, Tottenham. So yeah, we had a clash in there, Heartless and Pay As You Go. Yeah. We turned them over. Yes, and we had another thing in Rumble, which was like probably the original one. Big up Nicky Slimton, because that was his dance. And then there was a house party. I think it was Slimton's house party again, and Nicky Slimton and Double O. Mm. And they banged me down. They wanted to pick me up from North London and banged me down. Mm. And they tried to barrage me. Precious, we got Precious and a Major Ace, and I'm battling the two of them on the mic. You know? But these are all things under the radar. No, unless you're in North and East.
Bro, I was living in Waltham still then.
Okay.
Bro, I heard all the clash and everything. And obviously, that was pre-social media times.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything was word of mouth.
Word of mouth. And
bro.
Talk hype on the road again, back of the bus, school days, everyone's gassing it up and them two. So that was Guanin. So there's a little rivalry. It actually started with Major Ace. Mm. He was biting some of my lyrics. Mm. And them time there, not like now they want remixes and sound. So no, them time there, you don't do that.
You don't do that.
Yeah, so man kind of stuck it on him like, rah, bro, you got to leave all that alone. Mm. He was like, oh, yeah, cool. But then we're still doing the same thing. Mm. So there's a little bit of friction building up. Mm. And then it's building. Obviously, we're now, this is like over a period of probably 2 years, maybe a year at least. You understand? Now everyone's kind of getting to the crescendo. It's peaking. All of us are peaking. We're all big. Probably about a week before that clash, or 2 weeks before Disney's, there was a big clash planned for Birmingham.
Yeah.
And that had all the crews on it. It was like the ultimate clash.
Yeah.
So Solid, Heartless, Pay As You Go, More Fire, Genius Crew, K2 Family. Everyone K2. Was on this team. And it was going to be a map. We had loaded up our dubs. We're going there to turn over everyone. Like, we're saying, you know what, on the end of this night here, everyone's flattened.
Yeah.
You understand? And like that, it just had the dance, had too much smoke on it, too much hype. Mm. So we've all got to Birmingham. And before we've even got into the dance has got locked off. Man, a bus shots outside. And it's just going mad. It's like a carnival in Birmingham. It's like madness. So that's that. Yeah. You understand? Okay, so cool. Next week or 2 weeks, Destiny's, and we're booked. And Pay As You Go is booked on the show. Don't even know who else is booked. So again, roadblock. These times as well, I must emphasize, the dances were different. Nowadays, everything's like small pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got a little grime dance, you've got some Amma Piano going on, and this. Mm. Them times there, when you had a dance.
Super club era, innit?
It was super club.
Yeah.
2,000 people. And you could have a jam 2,000 air, and the next start, it was like mad, you understand? Same with Destiny's Watford against Super Club. Must have been all about 2,200. We've got there, outside, roadblock, mayhem. Mayhem outside there, you understand? So we've again, it's the era again, like come with your big guest list, you understand? So them time, man, are rolling like 10 man and all these kind of things. So everyone's struggling to get in.
Yeah.
I've bandooled my way in, slipped in. We mash up the mic and getting excited, you know what I'm saying? The energy.
That's all right,
so anyway, I've got in now. I'm in there by myself. Mm. These are all still outside, but like I said, it's mad outside. Mm. So they're taking ages to come in. I'm in there and I'm putting the whole thing Pay As You Go on. Because that's how they...
Yeah, even on first, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, they put Soul Solid, Heartless, or one after the other. Yeah. So Pay As You Go on now, we're coming on next. Yeah. So anyway, the man, them are gassing it. Oh, rah, rah. this were the number one crew, this and that, this and that. And I'm in there, I'm listening, I'm at the back now, I'm saying to him, I said, oh, so the thing said, okay, so you man are going in, all right, boom, boom, boom. I'm just talking to myself, like, okay, scene. But these men are getting a bit cheeky with it now. You turn up, oh, where's the next crew? We're going to take their money. It's all on tape anyway. Yeah. All
of this. Bro, it's on YouTube and everywhere,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, so it's, everything I'm saying is documented, you understand? The man them are trying to spice it up now. Wah, wah, wah. Where am I gonna, we're going to take their money. No, we can't just ask for it. I'm saying to myself, but wait, this has gone too far now, you understand? Again, I'm getting kind of itchy. So I've just sprung up on the stage, you understand? Obviously, this again, like I said, this is all, I got a feeling, I'm saying to myself, no, I'm not having this.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You understand? And I've just jumped up on the stage. And again, it's all, you can actually hear it. Could it
bro, let me just stop you there. But just basically what he's saying there, right? If you go on YouTube, type in The Clash, Heartless Crew versus Pay As You Go, then go, it's about an hour and 10 minutes, then go 32 minutes in. I swear down, this guy goes nuts. 32 minutes in, YouTube, The Clash, Heartless Crew versus Pay As You Go crew. It's nuts. Go on, bro. I just thought
so now I've jumped on stage, I sprung on them. You can see this kind of sprung.
Oh, bro.
Maxwell, he's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I forgot what he says. He says something. In fact, he says some lyrics. He's trying to throw some lyrics.
I think something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's
trying
to throw a couple of lyrics at man. But he gives me the mic, and then I clap a lyrics, and it starts to go wild.
Yeah.
This again, it's again. God is good because same kind of time when this is all going off. Fonty and them man are coming. So they've hit the stage.
It was just you on your own at the time.
When I got on the stage with me and all of them, Wiley, Maxwell, I think Plague, Major Ace, all of them on the stage. It's just me. But you say, but I'm like, wow, I don't really care. You know when you see him ready in a way, I just jumped up. I'm on stage. You understand? I'm sitting, right, but you give me the mic. You understand? And so we're kind of going at it. Now Mo and Fonty is obviously in there now. You understand? And it just goes off.
Yeah.
People have to just go and listen, man. It's like,
again, I'm going to say this again. YouTube, The Clash, Heartless Crew versus Pay As You Go Cartel. All right? It's an hour and 10 minutes, right?
You know.
32 minutes in. Right, when Bush jumps on stage, it's literally, it's 6-7 minutes of madness, but it's pure joyful madness. Trust me. I'm going to share that on my Facebook. It's
entertainment. I can't lie. That is, again, it's one of the most memorable things,
bro.
In the garage, kind of seeing people always come up and ask about it. Oh, what was that? Was that real? Did you? How did you do it? What happened? What were that man there saying? Yeah, man, it's epic.
It's insane because, like, obviously I wasn't there. There was no fights after because the hype when you hear it, you can hear the crowd as well. The crowd's going. There's a little bit of booze there from when Pay As You Go guys came down. Maxwell was jumping back on, isn't it?
Yeah, they booed
Then there's this thingy. I think it was you that said it. Pay As You Go, something dead.
Yeah. When I bro, say Pay As You Go, you say
dead. Pay As You Go, the crowd go dead. Pay As You Go, dead. It was.
Now, them man, I felt sorry for them. Them man, they had tears in their eyes. Their voice started going, oh, man. No, literally 2,000 people chanting that out.
Bro.
Man, so that there killed Pay As You Go. That ended the Pay As You Go, really. That, you understand, because they started to internally beef.
Yeah.
You understand? And it was like, that was kind of the beginning of the end for them, man.
Big up Pay As You Go again. It's one of the legends in this game, man. Maxwell, where are you, bro?
Man. No, man, if I get Maxwell, and Maxwell will say his part. I know he saw it slightly different, but I mean, the long
story, it's
there, it's documented, it's there, it's recorded. So, I mean,
So, bro, again, that was like end of 2001, wasn't it?
I think it's 2001.
Yeah, because I think if you listen to it, it says something about December, November time, kind of thing. So, we get into 2002, the album drops.
Yes.
And I think was that around the same time you guys got the One Extra show as well?
Yeah.
Because One Extra was just like very new, wasn't it?
Yeah, brand new. We got headhunted for One Extra. We were signed to East West.
Sundays, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sundays, yes, right. We signed to East West Records. Mm. So we dropped the single, we dropped the double album, and it's kind of just going off, basically. Yeah, 2001, early 2002.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
you guys are now touring.
Yeah,
internationally as well.
It's going mad, with Miami, with things that is going literally crazy. It's peaking at Napa. God. It's going mad. And but
how was tour life? So what you're allowed to say, what you can say. How was tour life? Apart from no sleep and
fun and more fun, man. Literally, us was just living the life. I think it was like 20, 21, 22.
Yeah.
Yes, and so it's like, yeah.
And anything that stands out during those times, like, I mean, any crazy, exciting thing that happened maybe at the airport or anything like this, or the hotel, anything that sticks out, like some fans hanging around a balcony or something like that. Anything that just literally is like, oh, man, this is crazy, we've made it.
I mean, basically, we was notoriously known for staying in the Hilton Hotel. Any place where any city we visited, we'd stay in the Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we'd go back to the Hilton Hotel and there's girls waiting out there because the rumour gets round. Like, yeah. Oh, the man that was staying in the Hilton. You understand? They're always going to stay staying and that's where they stay. You understand? So it's like, there's certain times there'd be girls waiting at the Hilton Hotel. We bought our own tour bus. We were doing shit like, again, very entrepreneurial stuff that the younger artists are kind of, they're doing now, but they're doing it with records. We was doing our own thing, yeah. So we bought Elkie Brooks's tour bus, you understand? Which was just epic. That in itself was just amazing, you understand? She had number one, she's a folk singer, and she had number one hits, so we bought her tour bus. We flying to Miami, we've done the Winter Music Conference, we've gone to Jamaica a good few times, we've recorded out there, we've met Sean Paul, we got Sean Paul on a remix.
Yeah,
our
remember
song.
That, yeah.
We the guy who made the buzz with him, Jeremy Hardin, we recorded with him. We went to Jamaica. We went to Miami. We recorded with Tony Kelly,
he is an absolute legend.
Like, he is the guru. He's
full stop.
Top. He bust Bougie Band. He bust all them. Baby Sham. He's a man. Literally. So we went and recorded with him. We met Baby Sham as well. Was making music. He had a nice house on like a kind of lakeside kind of thing. Was there smoking. Every time I used to buy my weed and me and my bun on weed and by the river and writing lyrics. Yeah. Like,
that's the life, bro.
Beautiful. And we also made music with his brother, Tony Kelly.
Yeah.
Again, like, big boy, he made the Beanie Man, Miss L.A.P. Bear tune. Mate, the man that made
I mean, for those who don't know Tony Kelly, he is, if you go between 91 to probably 2006. There's no fact, but I can top of my head can say probably 70% of the dancehall hits were just Tony Kelly.
Tony and Dave Kelly, them man, they run the
crazy. They had Shaggy ten times platinum album, diamond album. He did that. They did like half of that. Those tracks, bro.
Them man are legendary. So there,
bro.
Yeah, them so we're doing all that, and it's amazing. Looking back on it now, it's like, wow, going them time there. We're just going through the motions.
Yeah, because you're young, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're
just in it. We went we went New York. Again, like there's so much pivotal things. Like this is everyone talking about the Avericks and stuff like that. We bust Avericks in the scene. Avericks, the only people who had Avericks is really prior to us, I would say it's Rude Boys, Olders and Shotters. But I'm saying they're Olders. So for our age group and music. We went to New York. That might even be 2000.
That's when Everest is actually big. Yeah.
And we bought out the mall. And when I mean we bought out, when a man said that's mine, we went there and they thought we were superstars. Obviously, we was, in a way, we was stars, but they, obviously, we're buying out everything. They don't know who we are. We've got our energy. Remember, man, going out there with off-key. Man, wearing off-key in the daytime, in the mall. People are like, and this is no word of lie. Mo will tell you, funny will tell you. Man, they're coming up to me and stopping me in the street like, Who are you, man? Like, oh my gosh. Like, literally, man, I'm losing the scale in New York. Yeah. We're walking up Times Square and stuff like that. Man, I got cast about that jeans, fresh Reebok, you understand? It's like, it's gone, it was just mad. And people come up to that, oh, but what is this, man? we went in the mall, we brought out the mall, we brought out the AVs. They drive us around in the
Air Force Ones was big back then as well.
Air Force Ones, Reebok. I was Reebok all the way.
You still Reebok now,
all the way, fresh, all the way. Man, when I mean we bought trainers, like dumb amounts of chain.
Yeah,
we shelled. They put us on a, you know, them carts.
Yeah.
They were driving us around the mall on one of them
golf carts, bro.
Pictures, of it. The intent. And they're driving us around like we had the place up. They're taking pictures of us. It's like we're doing the poses and. Oh, bro, mad, good times, bro. Good times, man.
I mean, you mentioned earlier about that having that business acumen as well, which I think personally it's contributed to your longevity as well. So I'm going to mention two brands that obviously belongs to you guys. One I've actually been to probably twice, but Female Skanker, right? And obviously Bush Bash Recordings that is still here till this day.
Yes.
And again, it's impressive for me because for you guys in your early 20s. It's again, you guys are going through the with the flow, everything is coming through. But for you guys, I can then take a step back again and think, you know what, this is not going to last forever if we don't do this and this.
Yeah.
Right? What sparked that? What sparked us? You know, we need to do a club brand, Female Skankar. We need to do a record label. Something must have sparked it at that time. What was it?
Okay, I'm going to cuss off Fonty and Mighty Mo live on camera first and foremost, because I went to them with Female Skankar as a concept I had and said, man, them coming, all three of us go, bear in mind, Heartless Crew's three-way split, equal split, yeah, so no one is the actual boss of its tick, so to speak. I went to them and said, well, Female Skankar, new idea when I'm coming, come with you, everyone coming, three again, 33% split. The man them both turned me down. You understand? Like, I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay.
Female Skankar, when I mean that, went on to gross a lot of money.
Bro, it was everywhere.
It cleaned up. Until, I would even go as far as to say, because I was even booking Heartless Crew for Female Skankar every week. I'm paying the wage, he's paying a good wage, because he was making, so I'd even almost go as far as to say, Female Skankar's probably paid Heartless Crew the most money. You understand? So yeah, it was one of them ones there. But what spurred me on at that time, there was like a dip in the UK's garage scene, and the music scene, basically. A lot of the raves had been getting cancelled around that time and whatnot else, and things were kind of souring down. The vibes and the elements was kind of getting lost, and it's like, it's getting a bit boring and stale. The DJ's playing all the same thing. No one's coming with anything fresh. I said, okay, you know what? Boom, man, got to come with something new. And I come with Female Skankar concept, and it was like girls dancing on stage. It was the essence. And again, it's from Jamaica culture. You know, they look got the dirty wine and this competition and all them things. So I said, all right, you know what? Man's going to package it up nicely and bring it over here. And I said, okay, I'm calling it Female Skankar dance competition. The UK's number one dance competition was my tagline for it. And I'm going to give away money to the best dancer. And it's going to bring some entertainment back into the dance, because at the moment the dancers are staying. And so said, so done, man, done it. The first one was in 2006. Big up Master Steps, because Master Steps was my headline DJ in the first one.
Yeah, big up Master Steps,
And yeah, then the Female Skankar, was it 2005? Could even be. One of the two.
I think it was 2005.
I've got the flyer, kind of white and pinkish flyer. South End. And yeah, the first one was all right. And then I started to tweak it, refine it, make different rounds of competition, different music. And yeah, it just went on and on. And it smashed it. I ended up doing the Brit Jam. One of the best ones was the Female Skankar Brit Jam send-off, where I bought a ticket for... And we was playing in Jamaica for Brit Jam, and we done a send-off in Ifbar, East London, and I said, the winner, bring your passport, we're buying you a ticket to go to compete in Jamaica. That rave, sick. I've got that footage, so I need to put that on YouTube. That there is gold dust. Female Skankar, one of the sickest raves. I'm actually in talks at the moment. I won't say too much to bring it back.
Bring it back, bro.
It never goes out of fashion. We killed Iron Apple. Female Skankar was the number one dance in Iron Apple over God knows how many years.
Because the thing is, when it came out, there was two brands at the time. There was a brand that came before you lot, before Female Skankar was just twice as nice.
Yes.
But then Female Skankar blew up so much, it was literally, it was that.
Yeah.
It was, or even probably that. In my eyes, so
I mean,
big up Steve Gordon as well. I know Steve, so, but because he's a legend.
He's
but
a teacher,
it was like,
yes.
it was different, bro. Female Skankar, it's us as boys, bro. We go in there because we know what we're gonna expect.
You know, the hype is unrivaled. When you see everyone going mad and they're beating off the walls and stuff like that, I've got some footage for Female Skankar. I need to dig it up. It's on some old hard drives. I'll put it out because I'm telling you, it will go viral. And I've got the good thing, I've got all of the artists, Wiley. I've got Wiley and Gets clashing at one of the Female Skankar. I've got some gold dust. I'm going to dig it out.
Dig it out, bro. I think we need it. The culture needs it as well.
It's
those things 100%. That, because you never know what happens in a drive, but if you put it out on some on a social space, you know it's going to be there for until you delete it. And but it's, we have to try and curate these things, because it's going to make... It's going to make our history, it's going to make your history as well in 20 years' time. I mean, it's making history now, but then
it
lives on forever. It's what I'm saying. Then Bush Bash.
Bush Bash Recordings. Again, I mean, this is, again, it's a solo project. Well, it's a team anyway, because it's Jens Sand. But again, Bush Bash Recordings is actually, Female Skankar was my little baby. Jens Sand, they're both my babies, but Bush Press recording right now, that's my baby. That's why I kind of sidelined everything to concentrate on Bush Press recording, because Heartless Crew, when I came up with the concept of Heartless Crew, that was three people initially, and that was that. And Heartless Crew went on to do what it's done and still doing what it's doing. Bush Bash Recordings is a record label, and I see that as much. That could be 30 people, that could be 300 people. Mm-hmm. And this is now to outlive Heartless Crew. When we're finished and done, it's cultivating a new artist. Yeah. Again, this is something that record labels don't do anymore, is develop artists.
They don't have time for that anymore. They just give you a single deal and that's it. If you make it, you're lucky. If you don't, they drop you as well.
It's a numbers game for them, and it's all about money for them. Yeah. My thing is, our culture, building up and actually nurturing artists, developing them.
Yes.
You understand? Making sure things tick the right box and make sure the styles are the right stuff and doing it for ourselves. We got the major record labels and whatever, and I've been there and done it with them, and it wasn't to my satisfaction, you understand? And there's a lot of people who are disgruntled with them, and you know what? It's a cultivating now, people. I'm building stuff and doing it for ourselves. Yeah. Again, the tagline, I always like my little taglines. Female Skunk was the UK's number one dance competition. Yep. Bush Bash Recordings, the UK's number one independent black record label.
Yeah, yeah, it's ownership. It's having your own equity, which is a big thing now.
This way.
Because like you said, the majors don't really care anymore. It's all numbers.
They don't care.
Sorry. AR, there's no A&R department anymore. Because like I said, it's people think, because you can spit a few bars, you've made it. But they forget that you have to train. And Daz can verify this as well. It's like going to the gym. The more you go to the gym, the fitter you are, you bulk up a bit. Stage presence is a huge thing. Bro, I've seen loads of men of Blun have got hits on the chart or on Spotify, and I see them live.
And they're terrible.
It's awful, bro.
They're terrible.
And that's down to the majors literally just eliminating A&R.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the whole point of A&R was, we take you to this college, play that school, do that social club, blah, blah, blah. It's all part of your practice. Build that confidence, build a stage presence.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, big up for that, keeping that going as well, because it's, I think for me, music needs that. Because it's, and without us sounding like we're old men, it's not the same.
No, it's right now, I big up and celebrate the young artists for what they're doing and the way they're still purveying and pushing. But that element of showmanship and craftsmanship and stage show is like minimal right now.
Yeah,
I really need to go in and dig in and change it, because that is the culture. That's the vibe. Like I always say, like, if you listen to someone's tune on the radio or on YouTube, cold, and you're going to get a vibe. But when you see that person live, that's supposed to make your hair stand up.
And
you're supposed to be like, oh my gosh, and raw. Then you're going to pay your money.
Put the phone down. Watch it and immerse yourself.
Exactly. But that is almost non-existent. Especially with this. UK, and especially that a lot of these new artists, it's abysmal. And
it's not their fault. It's not their fault. They just need that guidance. Like, end of the day,
I mean, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, there's YouTube's out there, so you can go and watch the greats. And the greats are out there, and they've set a precedent of how to do it. That's what I done, and that's why I'm still good.
But you had elders, though. You had elders to say, okay, this is how it should be done. I know it still boils down to you, though.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, because they're so young, like they're hype, they've got that big single deal.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying, you've got this now, but you still need to really made it yet. You still need to. I don't think they're getting that guidance.
Again, it's like a two-pin thing. We all know, because we've been young. When you're young, you don't want to listen. So that's part of it. And again, when you've got so much money, with the hype, with the guilt, in a way, they think they probably don't even have to listen, because they're going on stage and everyone's singing their stuff and they're getting away with it. So that's part of the thing. And then because of you've got all these yes men around and people may know better, but they're yes men, they're not actually telling them breaking it down to them, you understand? So it's a bit of both. You understand? But again, this is what I'm doing. I'm not here to make any excuses for anyone. This is why I set up the record label and this is what we want to do, cultivate and build and help to train and, you understand, get artists to their standards at the time, performance wise, they can go on the stage and command everyone's attention.
Exactly.
And do it. These times you see artists and you're like, oh, what the it's disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
It is literally disappointing. And yeah, man, for our Bush Bash Recordings, we want to make a change with that. And I'll also stress as well, because when I mention UK's number one independent black record label. I don't want people to get it twisted and think it's only for black people, stuff like that.
It's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's just owned by a black man, basically.
This is it. And again, I just want people, when they hear the word black, I want them to recognize it in a positive light.
Yes,
we're doing something positive for black people and for the music culture.
Yeah, the culture, yes, exactly.
It transcends black people. I'm black. And again, when you hear black a lot of times, it's a negative connotation. Yeah. Black magic or this.
Black
or,
ball. Yeah, blacklist.
Exactly. and we need to try
blackmail.
And change this. We want to try and change this. And I want people, when they hear black and Bush Bush recordings, they're thinking of vibes, positivity, love, good music. Yeah. And so this is where I'm going with it.
I mean, can I add something else, maybe an extra tag at some point to Bush? But I think it's, because I can personally vouch for it, the most hardworking independent label. And the reason I can vouch for that is, bro, obviously I'm a DJ, I get obviously I'm on mailing lists on a heap of record labels, bro. Louis Pierre,
right? No, that's good.
Louis Pierre, right?
Louis, yeah, yeah.
My God, yes, bro. Yeah, yeah. It's literally, I still get it to this day, but I think I gave it to somebody else. No, but it used to be Louis back then, innit?
Yeah,
big
right.
up Louis as well.
Yeah, man,
so it's literally, obviously I get the stuff from Sony, but Atlantic, blah blah blah. Yeah. But you lot. I was getting weekly. I'm going back to, I think I don't even know how I got jumped on your mailing list, how you guys found me, but like 2004, 2005, it was literally bang, 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 yeah. bang, bang, bang. So I think you should add that. The hardest working independent label as well, because I haven't seen any independent label send me that much stuff like you lot said. Yeah. But then it just goes to show what you just said, innit? It's like, we're doing this because we love doing it. We're doing it because it's the passion, the culture. And building. This is the new artist you've got on. Give it a listen. If you like it, we'll bang it out in the clubs. Again, you build it from there. Big ups there.
No, man, respect, man. That's what we're... You touched on it, man. Man, I actually love doing what we're doing. So we're just consistently... And ultimately, when I started the Heartless Crew back in the 90s, my headspace then was like, making a change, making things different. And again, it's like, I didn't even know what I was doing, but I just knew I wanted to make a change back then. But as the time's gone on and whatever, I was like, man, no, we can really make an effective change through the power of music.
Yeah.
And Heartless, we've definitely done that and made 100%. A dent. But I know through Bush Bush Recordings, we can really make a change. That's what we want to do. The music can go.
Right, I'm going to give you an applause for that, bro. There you go. For that. Big up. So basically, another thing I want to go back with now is... The first go around with One Extra.
Yes.
Was it 4 years or 6 years?
Yeah, I think we've done 4 years to they kicked us out.
But then again, obviously they didn't even make a mistake, because obviously look at where you guys are now, back again, isn't it? Again.
Full circle.
Exactly.
Full circle, man.
It's too good to ask it for you twice as well. So now then, there's a certain time that you guys decided to go independently. Well, still stay friends.
Yeah.
But just have different, I mean, how was that like? How did that conversation start? Was it something that just happened?
It didn't happen. We was at each other's throats,
which is normal for any group, any band or anything.
And then, funny enough, it was all around. It's where is this gonna sound? It was around the times all the kind of glory. When we signed to One Extra, we signed to the record label. We're making the album. We're doing all that. That time there, we've got loads of money.
Yeah.
And the cracks started to seep in. Then we understand. I was on a bit of a rogue thing, but it was what I said, the right thing. Cause I was saying, listen, in a way, and I was indiscriminate then. I was a little less tack. Fuck all these people. Let's do what we do.
Yeah.
The record labels don't know what they're doing. Let's be us. Let's do it. And man's with that bit like, ooh, and again, these record labels, they're supposed to know what they're doing. So we're kind of listening to them. And like, I'm kind of like, well, come on, guys. This is a bit wishy-washy. Like, the album we made with them wasn't us. They put us to make an album with someone else. And it's like, Fonts, you can do all this. You're the baddest producer under the sun. I don't care what anyone told me. That. You're the bad man. So you're working with this guy and he's influencing the thing. And it's a bit wishy-washy.
The product wasn't you
it
anymore.
It weren't us, exactly. So that was a little thing. And then, like... Obviously, we've all got our own money. We're all confident. We've all got our own friends as well. We've got our own girlfriends. So bedroom talk comes in, oh, you know what, you're the best one, and you should do this. Mm-hmm. All those things are happening whilst we got a lot of money.
Yeah.
All our money was together, then we decided to split our money, so that was another issue.
Outside influences came in.
So all these elements are happening. We're on One Extra. Again, the show on One Extra is a kind of wishy-washy show. And our real core fans who know us from Pirate are like, what's that, bro? Yeah. That's rubbish. That, you know, sounding dusty on One Extra, Wagwan. But at the same time, we're getting broadcast further, so it's like a
it's the game stuck between a rock and a hard place, isn't it? Yeah, it's BBC in the day, isn't it?
So it's like, and we're getting paid for it, loads of money. But I mean, there's a lot of things, and loads of things. And again, we're like 21, 22. So it's like, wow, lots happening. And we start bickering. So there's already like a little seed of discontent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's getting more and more as the time elapses. And I think the final straw was Mo signed the name for Heartless in his own name, Yinsan, which was like, really?
What's
going on, what are you doing kind of thing? You're coming to the thing last and you're trying to... Yinsan. And again, that was in a way because it was already out of fear. I mean, you'd have to get him on yourself to him to fully explain. But because it was like, it was frictional and in a way... Where he probably came last, me and Fonty was there, and he's probably a bit
like the outsider.
Outsider like in a way, yes. Yeah, he's kind of trying to do it maybe to safeguard himself. I don't know the ins and outs exactly. So it's like, I've got wind of this, and I'm like, nah, bro, like, Wagwan. So this is a big issue. And we're kind of, we never saw eye to eye, we're arguing, and then I goes, you know what, brother, let's leave it there, you understand? And yeah, I said, you know
it's
what?
It's all blessed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's blessed. Before we fall out, let's salvage our friendship. Because
that's the most important thing.
That's the most important thing. Yinsan, let's salvage our friendship. The business is the business, Yinsan. And we'll leave it. And I said, you know what? We'll leave you to it, Yinsan. We left him. And I was getting gunned in my area. All the man them was like, wow, how can you do that? Heartless because you're ting and this. And I'm like, listen, I'm not really.
It's not another name.
It's nothing. It's not the name. It's what you put into the name.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to make people know. It's not the name. It's a passion, it's the energy, it's what you put into it. So then that was that, and few years elapsed, everyone doing their own type of thing. This is live, so you know.
Can you move it? Can you move it? All right,
live on the podcast.
This is what happens with live, isn't it? It's real, isn't it? Yeah, okay, so... Except, bro, it happens. It's one of those things. I think but the important thing is what you guys have learned from it. I mean, if you do a quick jump to the present, you guys are back together again, and everyone's sweet. So it's growing pains. That's the thing that you guys have to go through.
Yeah, and it was good in a way. Everyone got to flex their own muscles and do their own thing and to show that we can also stand individually.
Exactly.
Everyone still maintained. And Mo was doing his gig, Fonty was doing his bits, my Fonty doing sounds. I was doing the record label stuff.
Fab happens in FAB.
That's right. We set up
Rings FM, innit?
I set up Fab again. when it comes to names, you understand?
Man, thing, like
come with Bam, Fonty and Bushkin, Fab, FAB, FAB. You understand? Set up that. Me and Fonty started to go around and terrorize the place, and we've done the vibe. Man, vibes.
It worked out for the best because, like I said, I'm a big believer of the universe. If it's meant to be, it's going to be. Nothing else can change it. It might take 2 minutes, it might take 2 years, it might 100%. Take 2 decades, but it will always
come back
again. Then you then decided to retire again.
Yep.
2014. If I've got it wrong, blame Wikipedia, bro. But obviously, I remember that myself. Yeah. It was like, it was done. Why was it? Was it exhaustion? You just wanted to do some other project or concentrate on Bush Bash?
Yeah, you know what? It was a weird one. People got it twisted.
Yeah.
What I said, and never made
media, bro. Stick to
it, what I actually said, but it got misinterpreted. I'm giving up MCing because I wanted to concentrate on being an artist.
Yeah.
And I was finding difficulty doing the MC. People weren't taking me seriously as an artist because they just know me as an MC and they only want the MC, MC Bushkin. I'm like, you know, I'm retiring from MCing to concentrate on being an artist.
Ah.
That's what I was trying to do. And basically, the reason being, it's like, it's almost like roller skating and ice skating. Just because you can do one, it doesn't mean you can do the other.
Yeah.
Although they're very similar, you understand? They're not the same. Artistry, being a good artist, requires a whole different skill set than being a good MC.
Yeah.
MC, I can turn up today, say anything. People are half drunk in the crowd and whatever. The mics can be cutting out and this, that, and the other. And I can go, artistry is different. Your things are, and you've got a song, you've got a set list.
Layers, songwriting.
You know when you're coming in, you know you're going to come in at this bar. Your things more refined. So I'm saying to myself, well, you know what? In order to be a great artist, to be a Tupac, to be a Jay-Z, to be a Biggie, you understand? You need to put time and effort. Again, these younger artists now, they're just coming, they can write, anyone can make a quick song, go studio, bang. But that doesn't make you a real artist, a Beyonce, you understand? Like, these people, they're different. Tina Turner, James Brown, these are different calibers. Michael Jackson. These are artists on every layer. And I said to myself, my mind is working. I'm thinking, I'm like, wow. And to cut out MCing in order to pursue that properly, because if I don't, I'm not even giving myself a serious chance.
Yeah, because you basically spread, it looks like you feel like you are going to spread yourself too thin.
Yeah,
I know the MC, but that's my bag. That's my bread and butter. I want to literally know how to do this properly.
Learn the craft and train. And I didn't last. I lasted maybe a year or maybe a bit more. Maybe I
should. You back in it.
Yeah, they wrote me right back in, bro. I couldn't leave. But what the good part about it, I took a massive pay cut. I was going out as an artist just to try and get shows and get my experience.
Because you have to get yourself out there, innit?
Yeah, like starting £50. Yeah. People didn't want to book me as an artist. I'd taken shows for £50. I remember going to one show as an artist, and like, I said, I don't know how they never really knew. In that, I was trying to change my name. I changed my name as well. That's because people weren't taking me seriously. I changed my name to Ricky Black. You understand? I was doing a Ricky Black thing, and there's a whole lot of history. Bloody hell, even I forgot that part there. Bloody hell, I forgot that crucial part. I changed my name from MC Bushkin because, again, people weren't taking me seriously. Because
even with the guests, if they see Bushkin, they come to the rave expecting
the MC.
It's the right thing to do as well.
So
I
changed my name to Ricky Black. So I remember taking a booking, £50 as Ricky Black, turn up there, and they're like, what? They're obviously the MC Bushkin, no. And the people were embarrassed. They didn't want to pay me £50. They're like, no, bro. We can't do this. And I'm like, no, this is what we agreed. Yeah. You understand? I'm a man of my word. This is what we agreed. I've come here. This is what I'm doing. You understand? I've done my performance. £50. And you understand? And I've done quite a few things like that. Big up Sunday School or Sunday Show. I went and done a good performance there. I've got to put that on YouTube. That was one of my early ones. And I'm just learning the crowd. Big up Big Nasty. I've done a show with him.
Big up Big Nasty, man.
I mean, him done one early days. And above, man. I would learn the craft. And you need it. You need it.
It's like I said earlier, it's like learning something new. Not new, but learning it properly. You have to get it stacked from the bottom. And it's all about the work ethic, a bit of networking, a bit of luck in there. And it's, but again, it enhances you as a human being because now you've done that.
Yes,
and you know what it's all about. Exactly. You're now more of from an artist point of view, more of a fulsome
full
artist.
Package, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I always say, and I mean, I'm cocky when it comes to artistry and them things that I always say, and it's tried and tested. I go and link most of these artists and I shell them. Young or old, indiscriminately, you understand? I don't, you understand?
Yeah,
I don't doubt, bro. And I'm a competitive person, hence the reason I jumped up on the stage in the Page You Go Clash, because I love all that, and this is, you understand, I'm a competitive person, you understand? And that's why I homed in on my craft, you understand? And people haven't even seen the best of me yet, you understand? Because I'm still on this artist thing here, you understand?
Yeah, give me that there, bro, as well.
Yes.
So, we're going to come forward a bit. So, see, we started from 92. See, we're edging a bit now. So, how did the second go-around of One Extra come about?
Okay. This is interesting. Again, big up Janine, the boss lady, I call her, from One Extra. Basically, me and her, I always see her at shows at the industry parties and stuff like that. And I always used to say, what go on, man? You know what it was? Tell her, like, it was Charlie Soft dropped off the One Extra. Yeah. When Charlie Soft dropped off, you understand, we used to see her. And I see her at a lot of industry events. What go on, B? Yeah, you know, your big guns dropped off now. You know, you need to send for the big guns again now. Yeah. You know, you need some more power now, you know. And me and I was just laughing.
Just jesting about it.
Yeah, it's a banter. Every time I see a banter, boy, when are you going to do it for the big guns again? Where? And I almost thought it was landing on deaf ears.
Yeah.
But, like, out of the blue, not even maybe a year or later, you understand, we got the call up again. Is that
persistency, innit?
Yeah. Like, wow. We want you back on
2019, 2018?
Yeah, a couple. How much years ago now? Was it 3 years or four?
Yeah, I think it was based. I think it's 2019.
Yeah, it could be 2019.
Because I remember when it first came through my thing, I said, "Whoa, come back, this is huge."
Yeah, they bang Us Back on Rampage, and they want a refresh and a reshuffle. And I got a call first. And I hit back Fonty and I was like, whoa, yeah, Dan, the man, then we're back, you know? Yeah, yeah, but this time is weird because I was asking for it in a way. And again, the universe, you understand?
The universe.
You put it out there and you understand? But when it actually come, I was like, whoa. It kind of threw me off. And I was like, okay. And we got into talk. And I was like, you know what? We're big men now. That was that. And when it was a bit. Well, we never, in truth, and I told One Extra this as well, so I can say it on camera. That time when we was on One Extra, it was really uncomfortable for us. We didn't actually like it. You understand? Our show wasn't all that. We had a few peak moments, but by and large, as a whole, we didn't enjoy that period. So when I spoke to them this time, I'm like, you know what? There's a few little things, and we're not, obviously, it's not 100% our terms, but as men, there's a few little things.
You get that clarity there from the start,
from the beginning, and it's like, boom, boom, boom. And, and yeah, man, and they were open arms, and they requested something of us, and it was beautiful. And yeah, man, and yeah, big up One Extra, man. Sundays, 7 to 9.
Every Sunday.
You know what? This will go out beforehand, so I can gas it up as well. Well, I don't know if it's out of the bag, but it's out now. We're going to be hosting at Wireless. They've got us at Wireless.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting our show from Wireless.
Wow.
Which is a real good look for us.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
man, we're looking forward to that. Yeah. And there's some big names. I ain't going to say the names.
Don't.
But we're going to be interviewing some big names as well. And yeah, man, we're really looking forward to that. So big up One Extra. Make sure you log in every Sunday. Catch Heartless Crew on there, 7 to 9. Failing that, go on to the BBC Sounds app and listen back.
At any time. Bro, anytime. That was special because when I saw it pop up, my thing was like, raw. And then again, I think, because there was a reunion. He's going to kill me because... I blame long COVID, bro. I'm not going to blame what's my man's name? DJ. Up North guy. He's One Extra. Like when he got Pay As You Go, got you guys down to the studio.
Farron.
No. God. Mr. Jam.
Oh, Mr. Jam. Yeah, of course.
That was the year before, wasn't it?
Mr. Jam. Yeah, yeah.
That, bro.
Mr. Jam. Yeah.
That was literally, it was a seminal moment for me because obviously I know about The Clash. I was there. I knew about, I was old at that time. And to see all of you, man, obviously everyone's grown, everyone doing their thing. And because I think he had different segments, because he had the one with my Donny guy, the legend. Jesus Christ, my head's going to go. Jungle legend, Wicked.
Oh, General Levy.
General Levy. So, but then the one with you. Last time I saw Maxwell D was probably 2012. Then to see him on there and I thought, look at all of them again. Everyone's now a big man, isn't it?
Man, that was epic. And again, people always talk about that.
Yeah.
Is it Jam Sessions?
It was Jam Sessions. Mr. Jam Sessions. One extra.
Did you see Mr. Jam? He was gassed. Everyone so solid. Heartless Crew, Pay As You Go, all on the mic together, spitting a couple of others. Yeah, it was brilliant, man. That was epic.
It was mad. Yeah. It was mad. Yeah.
So again, love conquers all, man. You understand? As much as we were rivals back in the days. It's that like we were all boys now, man.
It's mad. So let's now look at the now. I mean, because I want to split this episode into two episodes. I want to do the first one, which is this one we're doing now, is going to be about the history, the inspiration. I haven't even asked you about your musical inspiration. I think I kind of know some. You've mentioned some anyway, but and then I think what I want to do with the second episode, which we're going to do, is the present and the future, especially with obviously Bush Bash, Heartless, and things, you spoke about Wireless as well. So let's talk about now. All right, Heartless are back. They're back on Radio One Extra, where they should have been from the start. You guys reckon you have more of an input with the second go round as well as men, because you're all grown now. And it's there's happiness there, there's love there as well. What is in the pipeline? We know. I mean, I'm saying now. This is gonna come out. I'm gonna make sure this comes out for your birthday party. Your birthday party.
Lovely.
June the 11th.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
June the 11th.
Yes, sir.
Casino not paying me this, so I'm going to do this for free because you're my boy. Casino Nightclub in Guildford. June the 11th. Or go to Bushkin's Instagram. You see on there, @Bushkin, innit? Yeah. And it's his birthday. some Donnies are showing up to perform, yes, and DJ because of the love they have for this guy as well. So check, if you guys got nothing doing, it's a Saturday. It's summer, June the 11th, Casino Nightclub, Guildford. I'm going to be there. Daz is going to be there. No pressure. Let's drink the man. Let's celebrate and celebrate life as well, because everyone here has lost. We've lost people. Holy, right. Let's celebrate life and remember the people that have gone as well. So what is going on now? What's happening now? Bro, summer's around. Oh, summer's here.
Summer's here, yeah.
So what's going on? Festivals?
Festival shows. Season. We've got loads booked in for the festival season. Fun enough, we're doing one next weekend, mm-hmm. City Splash. Mm-hmm. We've actually done a few already.
The last time I spoke to you, you had like 3 gigs in one day.
Yeah, that's
Bristol, Brixton.
That's right. We done Cardiff. We done a festival in Cardiff on that day, and then we was coming back.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, man. So
you're still working, bro.
Working that's hard, man. God is good, man. And again, you know what? For Heartless Crew, especially the testimony, and again, I hope that youngers can really home in on this and like make it seep into them. Heartless Crew, we haven't had a single out since 2001.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's our Heartless Crew theme. The theme. 2001, yep. That was, yeah. And we've been playing and touring since. It's now 2022. Yeah. And that. The only reason we've stood that test of time is because of the vibe and our stage performance and presence. Mm. That's why people
and also as you guys as people as well, because yes, people buy into people.
Yes,
as
yes, well. Yes, 100%. We're people's people, 100%.
Bro, I've never heard, and this is not, I've never heard anything bad about you lot, from individually or as a crew.
Yeah. No,
right? So that people appreciate that, bro. No, trust me.
Love, our thing. It's always from the beginning, you understand? It's love, man. Love through the power of music, you understand? Peace, love, and pump on. That's my slogan. So,
peace, love, and pump on. People know.
Yeah, that's what it is. Good vibes, man. And it's nice to be nice, man. Mm. That's what they say. It's nice to be important, but it's nice to be nice. It's important to be nice.
It's nice to be important,
but it's important to be nice. Nice. Yes, like yes. That, yeah. So, yeah, man, that's bro. What it is, man.
And with Bush Bash, I mean, I know in the next episode, you're going to play us a couple of new songs and stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to quickly touch on a song that you did a remix to.
Yes.
Big tune. I love that tune. Because like you said it to me on WhatsApp. Because the remix of Peru.
Yes. Yeah.
I was gassed, bro. It was nuts. I put it on my Instagram straight away. So this is nuts, bro. It was big up Sweet P Music as well.
Yes.
Man's got a voice, bro.
Man. He's a bad man. He's a prolific writer. Performer, and there's a lot, man. We've got a lot coming from the stable. So I'll definitely Sweet P has to be celebrated.
Yeah,
and then we've got a few other artists we're cultivating and working with. So yeah, man, the label thing, I'm like I said, that's where my heart and soul is right now, man, because I know it's gonna outlive us and transcend us. And again, it's bigger than us.
Big up, bro. So it's like, so this is a round up this first episode, and the next episode, because it's a two-part, it has to be. We're going to look at the new music, the new artists, the movement with Bush Bash as well. And I think this is, like I said, this is an honor for me, bro.
Thank you very much. Big up Daz as well, man.
Daz, the director.
For accommodating us. Come on, man.
6 Degrees Studios. At 6 Degrees Studio, and Daz, the director as well. I'll put that on the links, on the audio links and YouTube links as well.
Yes.
So thanks for tuning in, and watch out for part 2, which will come out the week after this one, whenever this is going to come out. I swear to God, this is going to come out.
Don't do a Christmas gift one.
I'm doing it. It has to come out before your birthday, bro. I like putting pressure on myself. So your birthday is 11th of June. That's a Saturday. So this, I'm going to make sure this, the 12th is Sunday, which is your actual birthday. So we're going to go into that. The 13th is a Monday. So I'm going to make sure this comes out, because the video always comes out on the Monday. The audio comes out the day before the Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm going to make sure this, the audio comes out on the 5th. June.
Lovely.
The video is going to come out on the 6th. It's like a nice little pre-thing into your birthday as well. Then the part 2.
Buy your tickets
as well. Get your tickets.
You down there, mate.
Casino Nightclub. Bush King's birthday. Who's performing, bro? Who's performing? You tell them, bro.
The list is wild. We've got Wiley headline. Mm-hmm. I'm joining Wiley out. You know, Wiley's going to come. Wiley, don't let me down. Wiley, do not, don't let me down, Wiley. I'm talking to you directly. Do not do it.
Bigger Wiley, yeah, bigger Wiley.
We've got Wiley, I've got Kelly the Rock, then we've got Heartless Crew, obviously, Artful Dodger, Rude Kid, Scott Garcia.
Super D's in the plane, isn't it?
Super D, yeah. Pioneer. I've added Pioneer to the list now as well.
Wow.
Yeah, Pioneer had a cancellation, so and I really wanted him. And again, put out in the universe and deliver. So I've got Super D, Pioneer, Doctor. I've got Creeper.
Doctor.
No, not that Doctor. MC Doctor. I wish, Doctor, if you hear this.
Doctor, bro. Come through, bro.
I've got DJ Ironic on it. DJ Rough Tough. I've got MC Viper. My mind's going black now. Precious.
Yeah.
Hyperactive. Yeah, man, the lineup
just
is
check.
Cold.
Casino Nightclub Guildford. I think they've got it on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook. Yeah, Invasion Crew. I have to mention Invasion Crew. My sound, Invasion Crew on it. DJ Chuckster. I've got Rax from Reading doing a live PA. Sweet Peas doing a live PA. Jeez. I've got Miss Sensi from Slough coming down. I've got The Firm from Reading.
Oh, my
Yeah, it's a mad thing. It's a mad thing.
That is the party of the summer, bro. I'll be there. Obviously, it's going to be there. Dash is going to be there.
Dash is in the building.
There's no reason not to, bro. Clear your diary. Saturday. It's not a Sunday. It's not a Thursday. It's not a school night. Saturday summer. Casino Nightclub, Guildford. We are all going to be there. And big up. And we'll see you in the next episode for part two. And thank you very much for tuning in.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro.
Brother. Nice. Respect. Nice. Bro. Thank you, man. Yeah, big up. Love the plug as well, man. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, but you make it easy, bub. You make it flow so easy.
Bro, thank you, bro. Mate, yeah, do your piano kind of thing. That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
So easy, bub.
Yeah, bro. It's I think it helps because obviously it be into the music as well.
Yeah,
add a little bit of research as well.
Yeah,
and it's going to make them comfortable.
Yeah, and I think it's your music man as well.
Yeah. Oh, bro. Thank you, bro.